Hebrews chapter 12, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. You know, we've been working our way through this study here. It's an interesting passage of Scripture, and we haven't looked at every single verse because that would take too long. So we've just kind of been skipping around, and so we are going to do today as well. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're actually going to begin right around verse 11 as we look down through here. But I want to talk to you just a little bit before we continue on. I need to know, in your opinion, what is the difference between an Olympic athlete and one of us? Laughter? What? Laughter? Training. Some would say it's a natural inborn trait. Some would say that it's an ability that they have and they are just better than the rest of us. But I think probably Don is absolutely right, that what we're dealing with here is an aspect of training. An aspect in which they spend their lives in training, hour after hour after hour, in some of the things that are most important to them, and then they go on to perform. It's not that they're greatly any better, unless, of course, you're 7'5" and you're a basketball player. There are some natural abilities that you can have in certain sports and things that would enhance you. But the real bottom line, when it comes right back to it, it is involved in the training that's going to make them who they are. So we need to think about that. We're going to approach this text here again from the athletic perspective. I want to know that as you drop down in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about the discipline of the Father. That word discipline I'm going to use as training, okay? And I'm going to be as the Father in general here, even though he says to how he's going to train his son in verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens or he disciplines or he trains and scourges every son whom he receives. So we're going to look at this text from a training perspective. And I want you to know that I think from the Olympics, if my parents would have taken me from a very small child, I could have been a great swimmer. I would have never been a great basketball player, okay? I could have been a great wrestler. I could have been a gymnast. I could have been anything. If you have the training and the skills and you work at it and you see the kind of things that are going on, it is that determination to success. And sometimes when you're watching the Olympics, they'll tell the story of the person who's performing. And this, like, hour after hour, they got up early in the day, they went to the gym, they did a little bit of school, they went back to the gym, then they caught a little bit to eat, and then they went back to the gym, and they went over and over and over, and some of the things that were there. It is true. I think it is a true statement that says, practice makes perfect. We already know that one, all right. And habits last a lifetime. Yeah. Those kind of things that we develop and the training that comes out of our life, the trainings that we have received and how those habits become a lifetime of who we are as individual people. Do not think for a moment that the athlete on the platform for gold or silver or bronze has not spent a lifetime in training. They didn't just decide a couple of years ago, well, I think I'd like to be in the Olympics and I'm going to go try out. I mean, that would be a really unusual situation in case that might take place there. You know, they've spent their time in perfecting the way they think, perfecting the timing that they have, perfecting the abilities, and they hire one coach after another because every coach has something else they can contribute to what they have. Huh. And they have been corrected 100% of the time. No, don't do that. Oh, we need to fine-tune that little bit there and what is going on. Studies have been accomplished on this act of disciplined training. And the thought process goes something like this. There are four stages, if you will. The first one is this, is repetitive performance, okay, to fine-tune a psychomotor skill. Repetitive performance. Now, I wanted to learn to play the guitar. I got a guitar. I practiced 5 times. Do you think today I can play the guitar? You're absolutely right. I cannot. I wouldn't even know anything about it. But some of you have spent time playing the guitar over and over and over. Guess what? That's repetitive practice. You became better because you practiced. I think I could play the guitar. I'm just not willing to put the practice in. I'm not willing to spend the time. And that's a part of the process of what we're looking at and what's happening. Now, in just a few moments, I'm going to transition this into a Christian perspective. Okay? We're not willing to practice the things of God. We don't become Christ-like in areas of our lives because we don't want to spend the time that it would take to be there. Now, the second thing that we're told from a purely secular perspective, not only is it repetitive performance in practice, but it's rigorous skills assessment. Rigorous skills assessment. I watch ice skating. Barbara loves ice skating, so we watch ice skating once in a while. And when the judges finish, I'm like, they did what? I thought it looked great. It was wonderful. It was tremendous. And they are critiquing little, bitty, tiny, little skills, you know? And that's where they're at. Rigorous skills assessment. You have to hold your arm just so high. It can't be too high. It can't be too low. It has to be just so. And you have to do all of those. Specific information feedback. You need feedback. You're not doing it right. Okay? I know the judges that are going to be there this year. This is what they're looking for. This is what they want. And you need to be critiqued in those ways. And last of all, you need better skills performance. You need to listen, and then you need to perform. You need to do what you hear. Do what you hear. In other words, it doesn't happen by chance. It doesn't. So, Hebrews is all about the race. If you've read verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, it's all about the race. And they're talking about the race that's going to take place, the things that are going to be set up, and how to run the race. And he talks about laying aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. Well, now he's going to come down a little bit further, and he's going to say, you need to listen to the training. You need to get involved in a training program. You need to find yourself in the process of discipline and discipleship. You need to find out what it's all about, and then you need to get into the process of what it takes. You know, this whole thing is that God saves. We don't save ourselves. We have no part in that. God does the whole issue. He takes care of it all. But on this side of that salvation, on this side of what Jesus Christ has done in the redemption of my soul, I am to be in the process of being trained. Trained. Let's start with verse 11, okay? Let's work our way down here. Now, no chastening seems, or discipling seems, to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Those are the verses that we want to look at. But notice right off in verse 11, it talks about the discipleship. It talks about a pain that goes along with it. And nevertheless, there is a goal to be achieved. There is a point where we want to go. That there is something that He is going to be doing in our lives. It is this point of becoming Christ-like that He says, I'm training you for. I want you to become just like Jesus Christ. I want you to exemplify all of those things in His life while He lived here and what He did and how He did it. I want you to think like He thought. Then I want you to perform like He performed. I want you to be Him here. You are to be the light of the world and represent Jesus Christ here in this place. And I have for you today, for $10.99, a training program. No, he doesn't say that. He says, you're my child. He said, I have done so much in the redemption of your soul. As a matter of fact, he mentions it in verse 2, doesn't he? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Yes, he did all of that. He accomplished that on our behalf. He went through that for us. God says, now I have a program that I want you to take you through. And here's the details of the program. Verse 11. Now, no discipleship, no training seems to be joyful for the present. Four days ago, I decided I need to exercise more. Barbara says, please don't do that. You're going to die. You're going to go out there and your heart's going to stop as soon as you do that. She tells me that every time I decide once a month to go exercise more. So I did. And the next day I woke up and I was so sore. Oh, I could hardly get out of bed. Would I say anything to Barbara? Absolutely not. I scooted out of bed again and I thought, oh, I'm going to do this again. And I went. And the next morning, I was so sore, okay? And I scooted out of bed again. And I did it one more morning, and I think I'm done. But by the third day, I didn't hurt as bad. It wasn't as bad. I thought, well, this is pretty cool. I just don't want to get up this early. Okay? Do you want to put the effort into it? Do you want to be trained? Do I want the end product, the goal that is going to be set there? And it's going to take work. It's going to take some pain. It's going to take some difficulty in the training process. No one who has their eyes on the gold or the silver or the bronze at the Olympics escapes the pain of the training process. And our Lord says, there is a process in your spiritual development, in your life. That process is going to run counter to what you want. I don't want to get up early in the morning. I don't want to feel like I felt. But if you did it long enough, I think you would see the rewards. And it's so with God. He says, I have a process. And sometimes that process is tough. Sometimes that process is difficult, because it goes contrary to the things that you'd learned in the past. And the longer you have lived without Jesus Christ as becoming your personal Savior, the harder it is to undo all of those old habits. You know what? Habits become a lifetime. And yet when you come to Christ, you got to hack at those. You got to work away at those. And yet, in essence, you may be doing the work, but you got somebody who's a trainer saying, keep it up, keep going. I've got something better for you. And it's God who is the coach. It is God who is the trainer in your life. And we need to listen to that. We need to hear the things He's saying. We need to be in tune with the things that He wants us to do. And so we go through this process that the author to the book of Hebrews says to us here. And now, as a trainee, I need a new perspective. I do. I have to get out there, get it done, and do it. You know what I told Barbara? By the third day, I was waving to these other people. I never met him in my life. They're across the street. But they're walking and they're doing all their stuff. And I'm like, oh, there's a whole other culture out here in Pine. I didn't even realize it existed. And they're waving back. We never say a word, but yeah, there he goes. Yeah, go, go, go. I'm like, whoa, whoa. Well, you know what? We're all in the same boat in this church. You're all in the training program if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And we should be encouraging each other and waving us on, okay? And being part of the process. And being part of the process of what God wants to do in someone else's life for them. Wow. It does inflict pain. Let's look at the text a little bit further as we worked our way down through here. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, kind of a transition word, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained. We're being trained for righteousness. Let me just define righteousness in this context in a little different way. Right living. That's all I want to say. Right living. And right living is the way Jesus lived it out. Right living is the man who came and he lived amongst us. You know, it wasn't just by quirk that he came and lived amongst us, and he was here for 3 years, and we read all about his life. It was so that we could see that he who came knew no sin and lived righteously amongst all of us. And the disciples record the stories. They tell us all about it so that we can look at the trainer, he who lived it, he who already did it. You know, the trainers in the Olympics, they've already been to the Olympics. They're the people who are already there, and they've come back to do some of the training that's involved there because they know what it takes. They've been there before, and so it was for us. So when we're talking about training as a believer, it's in here that we're talking about. Here. It's not sore muscles that we have on our body, but sometimes it's the difficulties that we face, and how do we overcome those with Christ as Lord of our lives. Listen to this. This is something else I found as a thought of motivational training talks. Watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, because they become character. Character. Yeah. Those are the things. And we need to be conscious of all of those things in our lives. This is truly the truth. And somebody else said this, discipline is the bridge between the goal and the accomplishment of that goal. And training is through the process that leads us to what we want to be, to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And so in verse 11, he kind of changes from the athletic perspective to the harvest, to the farmer. Did you pick that up as we read down through there? He says in verse 11, nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit. Now we're talking about a farmer, okay? Hey, I need to tell you something. Whatever you do this year, do not plant zucchini. Do not plant zucchini. Because right around the end of July and all through August, in the kitchen back there, on the counter is going to be zucchini, zucchini, zucchini. Everybody brings it down here because they say, well, I had all that zucchini I can tolerate. You know, I'm turning green. I can't eat any more zucchini. I can't handle it any longer. And all the zucchini ends up on the counter. I've always looked for butternut, butternut squash. Oh, that would be so good. Or, you know, a packet of corn. How about bringing some a packet of corn? I never see that stuff here. It's only the zucchini that shows up. Oh, my. And they harvest it. Yeah. So the author here goes to the harvest and he says, listen, there's some fruit that's very special here. There's something that needs to be born in your life. And it is all about peace and right living. Right living. Now I'm going to put the finger on the spot. There may be some things in your life that you never gave to God. And they're probably things that nobody else knows about you. Maybe it's only in your thought life. Maybe it's something that you do on the sly, secret. You know what God says? I want right living. I want that thing in your life that keeps us from having a full, complete fellowship together. I want it. The training is not just for a few things. It's for your entire life. That's what he wants. That's what the training is all about that he's putting on. Can we reach that point in our lives? For some things, it's really easy. For other things, it becomes so hard. What's hard for you may be easy for me. And that's where we have to be the kind of guys, kind of women, who encourage one another in those most difficult areas of our lives. But there is a goal. There is a place. And the trainer is taking us there. And sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's painful. But it's part of the process of where he's going. Well, the things that he wants in our lives, I think you've already heard these before. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, denial of worldly lust, leaving aside the pride of life. God is the trainer, uses many methods, but he accomplishes it. And the ultimate goal, listen here, the ultimate goal, and I want you to understand this very clearly, is for the praise of God. The chief end of man is to glorify God. And he's taking your body, he's taking your thoughts, he's taking your character, he's taking your habits, and he's conforming it so that others will look at you and go, whoa, what happened to you? I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and he's transforming my life through a training discipline program. And he's changing me. He's changing who I am. And it's for his glory. That's the end of our lives. It's not necessarily that I'm going to have a great life. It's for him to be glorified and honored in every end. Verse 12. Verse 12 begins with therefore, which is some kind of a conclusion here. I've given this particular part of the outline an interesting title. It's called A Renewal of the Doers. When I looked at this outline later, I thought, renewal of the doers, what am I talking about? What was my thinking process the first time I looked at this passage? Verse 12, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Well, you know what the doers are of my body?
Da-da-da-da.
I have two of them. And I have one over here, and I have one over here. I want you both to see that on either side, okay? Those are the doers, man. My feet are the one that take me where I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. My hands are going to do what God wants me to do with my hands. It is a renewal of the doers that we have. Listen, he says right there in the text, strengthen your hands which hang down and your feeble knees. Where's Sue when we need her? We could have her hobble down here. Just had her knee replaced, so you know we don't want to have her come out or anything like that. But you know the feeble knees that are not so well. In fact, how many of you have replaced knees in here? Whoa, look at those hands. Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah, the feeble knees. It's a renewal of the doers that are there that are going to make the difference. Because what happens on the inside comes out through the doers. What happens in here and the character that you have and the thinking process that God grants to us is going to come out through your hands. It's going to come out through your feet. Because you're going to be those who go. You're going to be those who do. Be ye, what? Doers of the word. That's the process. So it's a renewal of that very process that's going to take place here. The mind determines the actions, and then the hands and the feet perform the actions that are there. What we see in the athlete, the practice over and over and over is ultimately that they have the skill that they can accomplish. I've told this story many times. It's a very personal story. It's a marvelous story. I'm going to tell it again today. It's a story of a young boy who played Little League Baseball, and I coached Little League Baseball. The reason I coached Little League Baseball is because they had nobody else. And some dad had to do Little League Baseball. You know how that works out, okay? So I said, I'll do it. And at that point in time, Pine could have its own Little League Baseball team. Now they have to go down to Payson and merge with them and so forth. So Pine had its own Little League Baseball team. And so I got the guys all together, and they're just young boys, and we're practicing, and we practice everything we can think of. And I read the books on how to be a coach, and I went through all of that that was here. But there was one young boy who never hit the ball. So every practice, I would do everything I could. I would have him hold the bat. I'd have him get in position. Where do you stand at the home plate? How do you swing? What do you do? And after a while, when he still couldn't hit the ball, then I'd get angry and I'd yell and scream at him and say, what in the world is wrong with you? Hit the ball! I mean, after you've been nice for a while, you got to go to the other end. I mean, maybe I can scare him into hitting the ball. I don't know what I can do. But it never happened, and it never worked. And constantly, it was over and over. And we got to the last game, the last time at bat, and he was up. And I'm thinking, this is it. I'm on first base. I'm the coach out there, and I'm thinking, this is terrible. I don't know what in the world. Game's almost over. I mean, just wait, hang it up for the season, okay? It's finished. This boy hit the ball. And I'm screaming, run, run to first base, get on the base, get to the base. And that boy ran all the way down first base, and he never touched the base. He jumped into my arms. Chris Groves. Our coach is waiting for us to run down the line and jump in his arms, because we've been trained. We've learned to live right. And we may have touched that point that's most difficult in our lives. And we've had a victory. A victory. That's our God. That's what he's done for us. He never gives up. He constantly encourages, and sometimes he yells. But he has our best interest at heart. He's not just beating us because it's fun. He has a goal and a place for us as a disciple of Jesus Christ. We need to understand and make the way clear, because we are followers of him. Remember the thought. Discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishments. And I want to be in the program of God. I want to be disciplined. I don't care if I exercise ever again, but I want to be in God's training program. Do you? Yeah. We want to be right there. We want to be listening. We want to be paying attention. And we want to practice the skills that He gives to us. To go back and repeat, it's repetitive performance, rigorous skill assessment, feedback from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and then ultimately, a better performance. That's what He's looking for in our lives. Not that I go back to an old way of living, or I find that the world is more attractive than the life I live today in service for Jesus Christ. For you are to watch your thoughts, because thoughts become words. Words become actions. Actions become habits. And habits become character on who we are. It is Peter who wrote to the early church, "So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God." And that's what being in training is. You put yourself underneath the coach, the trainer, and you submit to their leadership. That's what we need to do today, is humble ourselves under the Almighty God for right living. That's what I believe is being spoken about here in the text. Verse 13, "And made straight paths for your feet, so what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed." Make a straight path. Today, the road to Phoenix, down 87, is a pretty straight road. I don't know if you've watched, and maybe some of you have driven that way before. It was double lanes, and it was a single lane road, and even before it was paved. If you look carefully when you go through Slate Creek, you can see that road. It goes around every mountain. And it's just as crooked as it can possibly be on the edge of that mountain. Today, they've taken their bulldozers and gone whoosh, and they've cut holes through the mountains so you can drive a straight path. It's hard work. It's much easier just to follow the contour of the mountain. But a straight path is straight to God. And sometimes you got to move boulders and mountains to get where you're going. But you can. You can. Because God is on your side. I want you to go into your bulletin and take out that little paper that we sang, Come Into His Presence. And on there is another song. This is an old song. It's not a new song. But when I went to look for it after reviewing what I wanted to do here, I found and remembered this song, and I looked it up in our hymnal. It's not there. So I had to go back to some older hymnals. You know, I never throw anything away, that kind of thing. And I found this song, When We See Christ. And it's the chorus that is the most important part. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Hey, it's a great song. I'm sorry it's not in our hymnal, but we're going to sing it now. We're going to sing it. I want you to look at the choruses that are there. Oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain and murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away, all tears forever over in God's eternal day. Verse 2, sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problems, just go to Him in prayer. And finally, verse 3, life's day will soon be over, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished, and we'll lay our burden down. Praise God. Praise God. And yet it's a part of who we are today. because we're in the training process. We're being trained. And we need to listen to the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Be encouraged by those who are around us. Just as when I walk down the road early in the morning, and I have no idea who they are, they wave. And I'm like, okay, a new crowd, a new group. Very interesting. Ladies, let's come. We're going to sing together, When We See Christ. Father in heaven, we are thankful that you have brought us to this place and that the Word of God is so clear to us. I pray, Father, that as we think about it, we didn't talk about specifics. We just simply said we are in the training program. We are, if you will, the athletes of God. And yet it's not so much the strength of our bones or the strength of our muscles, but it is the strength of our character that God is concerned about. It's who we are on the inside and how our heart has been changed by the very presence of the Holy Spirit that lives in us and indwells us. Father, I pray that in the weeks and the days that lie ahead for this year, that we will constantly be concerned about the training process, that we will be more conformed to that, and we are willing to submit our will to your will, that it's not what I want, but it's what you want. So, Father, if there be any here this day who have not begun the journey by confessing their sin and asking Jesus Christ to come into their lives and forgive them of their sin, then that's the beginning of the process. For the soul and the heart must be cleansed before you can enter into the training process and be a disciple of the God who loves us as no one else will ever love us. Father, if there have been there those who have been here time and again, and they've heard those words, today, Father, I pray that they make that commitment and that choice to understand His death, to understand the forgiveness that is granted to them. And may they begin the great and the glorious process in God as their trainer, as the coach of their life. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.